Monica's obviously had an issue with the computer. Must have dropped out of sight.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. The Refuge Church, located at 18410 Highway 152 in Sayre. If you do not have a home church, please, I encourage you, find one. There's no excuse. I'm just going to put it like it is. They are on Facebook now. They live stream. Yeah. There is no excuse. Set aside what you thought you knew and how you feel. Set it aside and just find a home. And Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God.
And you know, while we're talking about churches, we mentioned early on, well, Kevin mentioned early on that he's pastor of Elk City First yes. Assembly. That's at 2701 South Randall here in Elk City.
Yes.
And your church service starts at what time on Sunday morning?
10:45 is when we begin.
Okay, you have Sunday school before that, or that's
we do.
Your preaching?
We have two adult Sunday school classes and one child class.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, I always feel kind of bad when we mention all these other churches when a pastor's sitting here and we don't give their address.
God is good.
I just want to throw this out there. So last Sunday, there was a gentleman, that stood in for Pastor Kevin.
Yes. Yeah.
I want to highly encourage you to go back to the Facebook page.
Yep, it's live.
His name is Travis. Yep. How do you say his last name? I don't want him at Imboden?
Yeah, very good. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yes, it is Travis Imboden.
Okay.
That's even how you say it, Imboden.
If you didn't see it, if he was not there, I really encourage you to go back and get that.
Yes.
It will bless you.
Yes, he is really was very trapped in alcohol and drugs and was delivered by the hand of God. Mm. And then God's blessing has pulled him out from there. So if you know anybody that has an addiction problem to anything, go back and listen to Travis. It was last Sunday's, whatever last Sunday's date was that May the 29th or 30th, just find it. On our Facebook page. Our Facebook page is the number one ST, Assembly of God Church, Elk City. So.
It will bless you. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
At Bordyce and Ford, we think it's better to give than receive. And we're giving thanks to every one of our customers for allowing us to be your Ford dealer for the past 27 years. As the weather is changing, we encourage you to visit our service department if your brakes are squeaking, your heater is struggling, or your vehicle isn't running at top performance. And shop our new and pre-owned inventory with vehicles arriving daily. Experience the Barber Dyson difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service only at BarberDysonFord.net.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Pastor Kevin Akins. His title is The Plan of the Holy Spirit. Back to you, sir.
Hey, thank you so much, man. It is so good to be here today. We are actually talking about the plan of the Holy Spirit. And I use the first five verses, Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. And the reason why I chose these is something that's really, God has really impressed upon me and really planted back into my life again, is getting back to the basics, getting back to the basics of what we're supposed to know and what we're supposed to do. And so far we've talked about this Holy Spirit has a plan for us. And that first plan is that we have an unfinished task. We still have a task ahead and we need to be doing that. We need to be reaching out a task to tell the gospel to every person that we meet, a task to love every person that we meet. And you can't do either one of those without the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the plan that the Holy Spirit wants working you. The second thing that we begin to talk about is that we have an unchanging message. And a lot of people want to try to rehearse the message. They want to reuse the message. They want to refilter the message. It's amazing how some people think that the message has to be dialed down for the kids or it needs to be tuned up for the elders. Either way, the message is the message. Get back to the basic. Tell the message. It is an eternal message. It will be for everlasting. It was everything previous to us. It is currently right now relative to our life and what we do here and now, as well as it will continue to go and continue to work through. And we use the scripture to even support that. I want to base that one more time. And I know I'm coming back and I know that I'm resharing this scripture, but I want you to get it in Matthew 24:35. Even Jesus says that heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will by no means pass away. The word of God is real. It should be vibrant in your life. It should be always there. This word is an effective message. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ changes people's lives. You can put this to the test. You can do it either way that you want to do it. But the more you share the gospel, the more people you're going to see changed. I know that's a simple little thing to do it, but so many people quit after they get made fun of or after they get criticized or they get ridiculed, and then they stop and they don't want to tell this message anymore. But just think even about in the days that Jesus was walking around, Peter believed this message of Jesus, yet Peter was made fun of, mocked, and struggled. He totally changed his life around. But yet Peter was one that God really changed, and then through that, he began to change many, many others. You can go back through all of the names that are listed in verse number 1 and 2 of chapter 13, and you can see those guys' lives, each one of them were changed. You can even consider the list on the last of the list says even Saul. I know it lists Barnabas and Saul. Saul is the name that was given to him in a Jewish standing. Whereas later, when he began to speak to the Gentiles, his Gentile name is Paul. He wasn't just transformed from Saul to Paul. He was called to speak from the Jewish people, where his name was Saul, to speak to the Gentile people, where the name is Paul. It's the same name. It has the same purpose. What Paul was transferred was his mind of thinking. It took away the old religious rules and regulations, the old rituals. You know, some people say, let's have church. You want to know what the definition of church is? Church is a regular routine ritual. That's the definition of church. Do we really want to have church? No, I want to have the presence of God in a gathering. Jesus said where two or three are gathered together, there he is in the midst of us. So no matter what we're doing, we want him in the midst of us. It is an effective message that is still relative for today. The gospel transforms people. I'm going to throw out just a couple more names out of the Bible. I wrote these down. I just think these are so cool. And you look them up. You study them. Those of you that are listening to me today, you want a Bible study for today? You want something different? Go look up the transformation of from Saul to Paul. Look at when he changed his name from Saul to Paul. And the reason, I've already told you the reason why, is because from Jewish people to Gentile people. But Saul spent 3 years in a desert unknown place before he ever came back and started preaching to the Gentiles. He was a transformed individual. What about Lydia down at the riverside? What about the Philippian jailer? What about that guy? Talking about totally changed. And I love that whole story of the Philippian jailer, because he's the one I'm thinking about that pulled his knife, started to kill himself, because all the prison doors had come open because Paul and Silas was in there singing and praising the Lord, and God came down, shook the cells, and man, I got a story to tell about that, but I'll save it for another day. But he shook, everything was shook, the doors came open, the jailer got up and went, oh no, my guys, my prisoners, they've all escaped, my life is no good. And so instead of going through the shame that jailers got when a prisoner escaped, instead of going through all that, he just chose, I'll just end my life quick right now. It'd be better for me and my whole family and everything go on. And Paul yells out at the top of his lungs, and he said, wait a minute. Do yourself no harm. We're still here. We're still in here. And that jailer had to go back, and his life was totally changed because he said to him, what must I do to be saved? I want what you have. Give me what you've got. Friends, we should be living a Christian life so strong today that people are saying, I want what you have. I want that. I want that comfort. I want that peace. I want that in there. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, and I highlighted this in every Bible that I get, this was something that I thrived on in college. This is what keeps me moving, keeps me going. And you think, how is this a motivation for your day-to-day routine? Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That needs to be marked on our mind. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, wherever we're going, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One year I took a missions trip, stateside missions trip, and I took a group of young people, and we went to Atlanta, Georgia. It was when the Super Bowl was in Atlanta, and we went down there, and we were going to pass out tracts and hand out tracts, and we were going to share the gospel. And so we were ready to go for it, man. We were ready to do it. And so we had everything together. We went to a park, a city park, and man, such a cool city, Atlanta, Georgia, so cool. And we were passing stuff out, and then we realized that there were a lot of another group of people that had a different religion and a different mindset and a different mentality, and they were against Christianity. And they came against several of our young people. They had three or four of our young kids kind of trapped in a corner kind of way, trapped in a conversation. Let me put it that way. They weren't in a corner. They weren't being held against their will, but they were just trapped in a conversation. And they were just bombarding them and really discrediting the gospel and really tearing up the gospel. And I, without even thinking, I'm not a great big hero or super brave person, but I just didn't think about it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the power of God unto salvation for all people who will come and believe. And so I stepped in between them and the little kids, and my back was towards the other people of the other religion. And I looked at my kids and I got their attention. I said, look at me. And they all looked at me and I said, leave now, go, don't look back, just go. Don't worry about what they say, just leave. And so they started running off, and the kids, the people of the religion, were yelling at them and saying, come back, talk to us, you're so afraid, you're ashamed, you're discrediting your gospel, you don't even know your truth, you don't even know your Bible, get out of here. And I turned around to them, and I began to take one-on-one conversation with them. I just stared at one. There was like six of them, and they were all throwing all this other garbage at me, you know, but I just focused on one. I just caught one's eyes, and I paid totally attention to him, and I said, what do you say about this God that I serve? What do you say about this one called Jesus? What do you say about him? And that one-on-one eye contact, he couldn't do it. He couldn't say it. He couldn't discredit him. You know, one-on-one, I said, then leave the rest alone. Leave mine alone. You deal with yours. You leave ours alone. And I didn't know. And now the funny part of the story is that about the time I had his attention, I felt these big hands grab me by the hair of my neck back in the back. And another one grabbed me by my belt loops, and they picked me up to where only my tiptoes touched the ground. And I thought, I'm dead. They're going to haul me off in an alley. This is over. This is not good. This is not a good situation. I'd heard stories about this, and I thought this. We were warned not to go down into that area. Those kids just weren't paying attention. They were just, you know, and so I knew I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I was like, what's going on? Somebody tell me, who's got me? And a voice behind me said, the Atlanta Police Department have a particular name, and I don't even remember what the name of it is. We're Atlanta Police Department, and you're under arrest, sir. And I said, I'm under arrest for what? I wasn't doing anything that anybody else wasn't doing. Yes, sir. You were on city property proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. You cannot do that. It's illegal. You can stand on the grass. You can be on a public place, but you cannot stand on the city place and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're under arrest. And I said, but those other guys were doing their religion. He said, they were standing on the grass. Sir, they have perfectly right to do it. You do not. And they put me in the police car, and they shut the door behind me. And I said, well, I guess I'm going to jail, you know. And he took me around the block and down the street just a little ways, and he stopped. And he looked back at me, and he said, listen, we're not taking you to jail. We know that you didn't understand, but you guys have got to stay out of that area. It's dangerous. They'll do it. And I was like, so you're not taking me to jail? No, I'm not taking you to jail. And I was like, oh, praise God. And so he let me out of the car. Now, my point of that crazy little story is this, and I'm going to use Monica again. If you make eye contact with whoever is coming against you, you can use the Holy Spirit that's down inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit that'll give you boldness. It's the Holy Spirit that'll give you courage. It's the Holy Spirit. I say this. This is my opinion. You can't find this in the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit that'll give you ignorance. Ignorance to do what you don't really know what to do when it is time to do it. But it is the Holy Spirit that'll give you that word. And he'll bring back to your remembrance anything that you've been studying, anything that you've been working at. Study the Word of God. Know the Word of God. So, because the time is coming. Church, we live in a terrible time in this world right now, and you've got to catch somebody's attention. And it's not always standing on a platform behind a microphone voicing your opinion. Instead, a lot of times it's eye to eye saying, what do you say about this one called Jesus? What do you say about him? And then if that response comes back to us that they don't like him, you can share the reason why they should like him. Or if they come back and say, well, I know he's real, then yes, then why don't you let him live inside of you? Let him change your life. We have a task. We have an opportunity. We have an unchanging message. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, one of my favorite places to ride my motorcycle, I'm an avid motorcycle rider, love to ride it. And I tell you, I can't wait to get back on track again, but one of my favorite places to ride are in the hills of Arkansas. But as you're riding along through the hills of Arkansas, you'll come across this. Sometimes it's in the valley. Sometimes it's on the mountaintop. Sometimes just in the plains. It doesn't matter. And there is this horrendous smell. It stinks. Oh, man. It's the most rotten smell ever. And I have circled back around and said, I want to know what's smelling so bad. It's the paper plants. It's they bring the trees in, and they run these scarred up, marred up, damaged, broken, big trees. And they run into this plant, and they go into the plant like this big, bad, ugly tree. They come out the other end, this big old roll of paper. It is amazing. Big old roll of paper is white, smooth, clean, pure, ready to be written on. Big roll of paper. Stinks like crazy in the process. Ugly at the beginning, beautiful and pure at the other end. Trust in the message. Trust in the message. Sometimes the process stinks. The method may stink, but the message is still real. You go through the process, you're going to come out pure and ready. Let me give you the third one real quick, and I'm almost done. Third plan of the Holy Spirit is this. All right, so let me just recap real quick. The first one, we have an unfinished task. The second one, we have an unchanging message. And the third one is we have an unfailing promise. It won't take me very long to do this. I want you to know that God made the promise. That's why the Holy Spirit was sent to us. That's why we have Pentecost Sunday. We have an unfailing promise. In verse number four, it says they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. They were sent forth. They were sent out by the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit's been planted in your heart today. It has a plan for you. You've been sent out by the Holy Spirit. Not only are God's people sent by the Holy Spirit, but we're also accompanied by the Holy Spirit. He never leaves you. This is how you carry Jesus from person to person, place to place, wherever you may go. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, he said, lo, I am with you always. That's just L-O. That's not L-O-W. You can't use this for a reason not to fly. He said, lo. It's just an acknowledgement. Hello. I am with you always. And that's basically what it is. Hello, I am always here. I'm with you always. We have a responsibility to carry this message out, a responsibility of the messenger. When that Holy Spirit enters into your heart and somebody says, well, I haven't received the Holy Spirit yet, then you're not saved. What? What? Boy, that gets deep. You cannot separate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You can't separate them. You don't get a portion of this one, a portion of that one, a portion of this one. You get it all. When you get the Father, you get the Son, and you get the Holy Spirit. How you use them in your life is the problem. There's a whole lot of people that have the Holy Spirit. They've just never turned it on. Wow. You know how many people get prizes and gifts for Christmas that they never turn on? They never plug it in. They never use it. How would you feel if you gave somebody a brand new $900 iPhone? Brand new $900 iPhone. And you give them the assurance, I will pay and cover whatever link you want to connect it to, whatever service you want to connect it to. Let's get that thing going for you. I've got it covered from now on. And that person says, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate this so much. And they go in their bedroom and they put it in the drawer and close the drawer. How's it going to make you feel? God has given you something far more valuable than anything that an iPhone can produce. God has given you something far more powerful than anything that an iPhone could research. And I know I'm giving iPhone credit here. Ta-da, give me a new one. Whatever. When you get the Holy Spirit, use it. It's available to you down inside. Don't let it just sit still. You have a responsibility to take that and use it. Prayer is the overcoming power that God wants you to use. That's what turns that Holy Spirit switch to on. Activate, move it, use it, get it going. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance or getting past God's, I don't know how to say that. So many people think that God's stopping them more than helping them. God's not a big bully and God's not a master. God is a Father who cares and loves, who has given you a great, great tool to use. Get a hold of the highest power advantage that you can do and let God use that. Let God take it.
I got to throw this in, even though I've said it several times over the past several months. I feel like there's somebody out there that needs to hear this today. Every morning I plug my curling iron in, my curling brush, and sometimes I forget to turn it on. And I'm reminded there's power in that plug.
Yes.
But if I don't turn the switch on, right. And Dwight mentioned yesterday, you know, there's power. He was talking about light yesterday. You know, we know if we flip that switch over there, the lights are going to go off. There's power here, but we have to flip a switch.
That's right.
And the Lord just lays on my heart, how many people are out there that know there's power in the Word, there's power in the Holy Spirit, and yet they don't turn themselves on to that.
Turn the switch on. Flip that switch inside. Activate the source. Activate the source that's coming to you. Jesus gives us these promises. This is an unending promise. It'll last forever. Matthew 7:7. Seek and you will find. That's a promise. That's a promise. A simple back to the basic promise. People go, I don't know how to find this Holy Spirit. I don't know how to get this Holy Spirit. I don't know how to use this Holy Spirit. Seek it out. Search it out. Throw it out. God's already given it to you. It's a gift. And he gave you the instructions. You remember a lot of times, I don't know how many remember this. I remember getting gifts for Christmas when I was a kid that when I opened it, it came with instructions. We used to do model cars all the time. And you have to disassemble it from all the little brackets, and then you start getting the glue out and put it together and all that kind of thing. And I've got a lot of comical illustrations with that. You know, we weren't allowed to drink Coca-Cola, but we could be locked in a little bitty tight bedroom putting a model together with that glue. Anyway, I'm just going to get away from that and not go down that line. But when we were kids, we had instructions that we had to follow. When I became a father, I remember buying gifts for my son and my daughter that on Christmas morning we go to assemble them. I would try my best to assemble them without the instructions and always end up with extra pieces and parts and going, well, it didn't really matter anyway. Follow the instructions. Follow the instructions. Activate this spirit that's down inside of you. I'm going to give you another promise, all right? Seek and you will find. Here's another one. Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given unto you. It's a promise. It's a simple thing. Let me tell you, give out that Holy Spirit and more of the Holy Spirit will be given to you. Share this gospel, share this message, and more of this gospel and more of this message will be given back to you. Share love and friendship and kindness and joy, and more love and friendship and kindness and joy will be given back to you. People use this, and ministers use this so much about giving financially. Financially is a very small part of what this scripture is talking about. Very small part. Yes, it's a part of it. Yeah, sure. You generously give financially and generously it'll be given back to you. That's a truth and a promise of God's word. But it comes from this: give and it shall be given with you. Let me give you one more. Matthew 28:19. It's a simple back to the basic promise. Back to the basic promise. Go and I will go with you. Go and I'll go with you. Come on, activate that Holy Spirit inside of your life. Let it take place. Let it work with you. It is time to turn the switch on. It is time to make it happen. We have an unfinished task ahead of us. It's the plan of the Holy Spirit to go forth. We have an unchanging message. It's the plan of the Holy Spirit from the beginning, a simple message of Jesus saves, simply put out there. And number three, we have an unfailing promise. Take that promise. It's the plan of the Holy Spirit. Activate the power that's already been given and that is still inside of you this day. Let me pray for you. Father God, we're so thankful today for your goodness. We're so thankful for your message, for your blessing. Lord, we pray today that you will just activate and stir up that Holy Spirit inside of us, causing us and making us, driving us to go out and to share this with somebody, to go out and to proclaim this message somewhere, to go forth and just let this promise be known and be heard. Show the promise is real. God, through us, God, I pray that you use that man that's sitting behind the wheel of that truck. God, I pray that you use that lady that's sitting behind the wheel of that car. God, I pray that you use that individual that's sitting at home listening to this. I pray that you use that person behind the computer today. Lord, I pray that you use me to do what you want me to do today. God, let me be that message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen, amen.
Amen. I don't know who it is that needs to hear this. I don't know who hurt you.
Right.
But I know how that feels. I know how it feels to be sitting in church and be so hurt. I want to tell you that I'm so sorry. I want to apologize for the misrepresentation. And I want to encourage you to pour your heart out to God. And release forgiveness for the hurt. It wasn't God that did that. It wasn't the Holy Spirit that did that. It was a misrepresentation of Christ. So I encourage you. Get the courage. Get up. Mm-hmm. Pour your heart out to God. Mm-hmm. And come home. Yeah. Come home. Let the Lord love on you the way He intended you to be loved on in the church. By the church. From myself, Monica Lovell. From the beautiful Neva Pyatt. And from Pastor Kevin Akins, y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you on Monday.
Amen.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We
hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.